It keeps us alive, doesn't it? Keeps us alive. Yeah, I was at the Gaither Christmas concert. They call it Homecoming. Last night, I went with our senior ministries, and we took two busfuls to Fort Wayne. And you got to be careful when you go to a Gaither's homecoming. Let me tell you why. Because they are it's a room full of senior citizens, and then they talk a lot about death and how we're going to heaven, and then they give you a snapshot of what heaven will be like when you enter the gates by giving you these heavenly voices, and at the end of it, you're kind of like, I'm in heaven right now, and I don't want to go back out to a cold bus. I would just rather just stay here in heaven. And so you got to be careful because you may not come out of there alive. You may pass over into heaven when you go to a Gaither concert. So that was kind of mine last night. But instead, I had to get back in a cold bus and I had to remind myself that I do have four kids to raise and a sermon to preach tomorrow. And it was midnight. And so if I'm a little bit loony this morning, it's because I was at a Gaither homecoming last night. But I did not get the DVD that I could watch over and over heaven, coming into heaven again and again. But they do sell them there. So if you're ever wanting to see what I saw yesterday, get the DVD. Okay? Some of you have it. You can just borrow it from other people. Kathy has a whole shipment of these. I'm not trying to sell these because they're 10 bucks and you're getting them at a deal, but they are really nice to celebrate the coming of Jesus. That's what Advent means, is the coming of our Savior. And this book lays out each day. So we're on, it's the 7th, right? So each day you read a section with your family, but I would go as far to say that you could do this as an adult, and it would still be very meaningful. And we drew this like little Christmas tree and placed it on our wall, and we stick each day something that our kids have colored, and then it models and it patterns right after the story. Now, it wasn't intended to do that. It just did. So we're going over each day the stories that we've gone over in the story. And it takes you all the way through the coming of Christ. And so, really neat book. Grab that. It's 10 bucks over there. Grab one and pay us later. Put it on a payment plan. $1 a week or $1 a month or maybe $1 a year. But get that book for yourself. It's really good. Well, I have been... I've been in this position as lead pastor or senior pastor, whatever you want to call it. That's kind of what it is, for 4.5 years now. And it has been a journey. It's been a growing experience for me. And for those of you who don't know or have come in the last couple years, I mean, I was a rookie. I had been a youth pastor for 10 years. And I came in with no senior pastor ability or experience, and they said, hey, we want you to come and be our senior pastor, Wabash Friends Church. And I felt really honored by that, but scared as all get out, okay? I had a lot of growing to do. And so I came in, we said yes, and 4.5 years later, I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot. Probably more in the last 4.5 years than the rest of my life. The other 35 years. That shows my age. I'm 39. Yes. You do the math. One of the big things that I've learned about being a senior pastor is I've learned this from Dave, who is my predecessor here for 35 years, and it's being comfortable in your own skin in all situations. Awkward, hard, tragic, any kind of situation that you have to enter in, and how can you be comfortable in your own skin? And that's something that you learn over time by being in those situations and just being there. Just being there. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just are there. But being with people in all situations, whether it's in an emergency room where there's been a tragic accident, or it's in the face of death, or it's in a broken marriage, how to just be there. There's also been other things that have added to this 4.5 years of my learning. I've had my third and fourth kid while I've been here at Wabash Friends. Now, that has caused some male pattern baldness, and I think it comes from the stress of raising kids. It also has put some gray in my beard along this job, along with my responsibilities at home, and I'm told that that's about wisdom. So those of you who are graying, it's wisdom that's coming through. And also, I find that the more I know, the more I know that I don't know anything. Anybody there with me? Those are just some of the things that I've learned over the last four and a half years, but I've learned also a lot of other stuff. I've grown up here. I grew up in Wabash Friends Church. When I was five, we came to a little Pike Street, and this church has been a part of my family, and really the reason why I'm standing here today is because this church invested in my family in a time of need. We had Dave Phillips and some of the other staff who are comfortable in their own skin to enter in the tragedy and the brokenness of my family. And so we want to continue that on, to be that for each other. But I've grown up here, and you've allowed me to journey and to grow. Now, I'm a vision, mission, and strategy guy. I kind of think in big concepts. Sometimes they're big global concepts that you're like, how do I do that? What are the nuts and bolts? I've even had people say, what's my next step? Just give me a baby step here. And I'm like, let's change the world. I can't do that. I'm just trying to get through today. So I do know that I have that tendency to have big word pictures and illustrations and when it comes to mission and vision, I sometimes have turned it up all the way to 11. Most people go to 10, I go to 11. And if you know that reference, then you know, I know you're about 39, 30, between your 30s and 40s, right? Spinal Tap, anybody? One person. Wow, good. You guys should watch it. It's really funny. I'm sweating in my armpits right now. So when it comes to mission and vision, sometimes I get big and loud and I try to get really excited, but I know that sometimes that feels like steamrolling. And sometimes it feels like when I'm thinking I'm excited and you're excited, sometimes you're frustrated. So you're like, where are we headed? What are we doing? And so I recognize that. So the last year we've kind of stepped back. And instead of pushing mission, vision, and strategy, we've kind of stepped back and just say, let's listen for a little bit. Let's listen to you. Let's hear your stories. Let's see what you have that you need our church to be. And so we've tried to listen, if it's possible, hard. And we've tried to listen to God and say, where do you want us to go, Lord? What? And it's not that mission and vision go away, it's just that it changes. I was in last year, a little bit from now, February, maybe March, we got sick of winter. Anybody who was sick of winter last winter? It's coming again. We were sick of winter, and we said, we got to get out of here. So it was like after service Sunday, and Winter Storm Titan was coming. And he had a sword and a shield, and he was coming to take out anyone who wanted to travel during that time. So we said, we're going to beat Winter Storm Titan. So we loaded up all our kids and all our gear, and we're chucked full in a minivan with bad shocks and bad brakes. We found that out when we got to Florida. And we headed off to Florida trying to beat Winter Storm Titan, and we traveled the whole way right through the middle of it. And so there was ice that came, and we got to Nashville, and we thought, surely we're above it, so let's go to sleep. It's late at night. And we woke up in the morning, there was a half inch of ice over everything. And we said, we either stay here all day in Nashville in our hotel room, or we try to get to Florida. There's about 30 miles that we have to make. Well, in that 30 miles, there was like six multi-car pileups. And I had everything I cared about in my van, and I was white knuckled, and I could not feel my hands. And we're traveling on this ice. And we get through it. We get through the ice, and we made it. But it made me, that word picture has stuck with me all year long. That as a church in life, we feel like there is some urgency. There is this scary, like, are we going to lose it? Are we going to lose what we've been put here for? Are we going to lose what matters? There's all this change happening, and everything's at stake. Anybody feel like that? Like everything out there is at stake. My job's at stake. My family's at stake. Culture is pressing in. I don't know where my kids are going to go, what they're going to grow up with. I don't know what they're going to know, who they're going to follow. Everything's at stake. So everything we have in here, and it feels like we're on a road of about a half inch of ice. We see crashes all over the place. But this year has been a year of surrender for me, of saying, okay, God, there's some things that I just can't control. And so I have to trust you. I have to. There's no other choice. And so as we've listened, we've kind of done this a bit with vision and mission and strategy and all that stuff. And said, let's just hear what God has to say to us. Let's listen close. Listen to each other. And out of that, just the other day, well, not the other day, it was like 3 months ago, we as a staff got together and we said, let's put together this something that will unify us in our what we value, what really matters to us. And so we put together a kind of a report of this for everybody to see, and it has our stories in it, and it has just some things that have happened this year that we can celebrate. And it also has what matters to us. And we didn't come up with this. You did. It's you sitting in there. And yes, they're just snapshots of different people, but we feel like they're snapshots of people who speak for other people. Darrell Boone did a lot of the editing on this and writing of people's stories. And then Aaron Scammelhorn, who grew up in this church, and his son of Mike Scammelhorn, our executive pastor, did all the artwork for it. And then many of you took pictures of different things and to put that together. And we want each one of you to have one in your hand before you leave here. Not just one per family is really all we have enough for, but grab one of those on your way out. But I want to talk about it. And so if I could have your permission, could we talk a little bit about just vision and mission? You can say no, and we can go right into sharing time and dismiss early. Okay? But I was wondering if I could share a little bit of some of the things we came up with in what matters to us, and also where that all comes from. Really? Oh, good, good. I didn't get a yes from everybody, but we'll go ahead. We got majority. When it comes to mission and vision, we kind of came down to this phrase of pursuing what matters. What matters in life? What matters to us at Wabash Friends? And when it comes down to what matters, we've had this picture of a tree. Throughout, I mean, the last 4 years, I brought in like apple trees and dead apple trees and roots that I've pulled out of my lawn and ones that I've found on the road. There's just this running theme of trees and roots because I think trees and roots, like people, go into every culture. Every culture knows what a tree and how it has roots and it produces fruit and. That we're kind of like trees. We're kind of like trees. And all through the scriptures, it refers to us as kind of like trees. Isaiah 61. This is the same verse that Jesus preaches really his first sermon out of. He's in the synagogue and he opens up Isaiah 61, and he preaches to the people, and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he says this, and he is a fulfillment of Isaiah 61. And if you go down to verse 3 of that, at the bottom of it, and it says, they, it's talking about you, it's talking about people who will follow him, the Messiah, it says that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, displayed for his splendor. So you and I are becoming deeply rooted. What are we rooted in? And then what are we producing as fruit in our lives? What are we going after? What matters? But we become oaks of righteousness. Now, we go to the roots first, because I want to kind of explain this tree and how it works and how we can look at this and see it as a model of us moving forward, of growing, of together, pulling together to move forward on something that's significant. And I feel like right now more than ever, we need to pull together and move forward on something that matters. So, the great commandment. And I throw this around a lot, and I've even had a couple people say, "What's the great commandment?" And I just want to refer to that. The great commandment comes out of Mark 12, 29, and Jesus is asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus responds, "The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This comes straight from Deuteronomy 6. "The Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." It says the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. "And there is no commandment greater than these." And so when we think about what it is that we're rooted in, this great commandment gives us the parts of you. Each of these is a part of you. Love the Lord with all your heart. What is your heart? When we talk about David, David was a man after God's own heart. And then we look and we compare that to Saul. And Saul was not a man after God's own heart. He was a man after his own. And his character was weak. And that's how he lost the kingdom. It's because he had a weak character. But David had a strong heart and a strong character. And even in the face of messing things up, he always came back. He always came back to the Lord. And so there's this idea of character. Romans chapter 5, 3 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials." We all have problems and trials. "For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance envelops a strength of character. And the character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not disappoint us. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love." And so we love the Lord with all our hearts, with all that we are. Our mind. Our mind is all that you know. This is why we do the story, because we want you to see the bigger overarching picture of God's story. And we want to know that. We want to have it framed in our head so that everything we see in life, everything we look at, we see through a worldview, through a lens of the way God sees it. We want to see like God sees. And so it is about training your mind to know what God knows and to see the world as he sees it. And so we dig into Scripture because of that, and we dig into a worldview of how we see. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. These are the convictions that you would die for. What would you die for? What would you die for? Just go there with me. What would you give your life for? Your spouse, your kids. Are there other things that you would give your life for? As we talk about what matters, these are things that we would stake our life on. That no matter what, we're going to pursue them. And we would get to the place where we would say, we'll give our life for those things. There's very, very little in life today, in our culture, that demands conviction to give our lives for something. And so our soul is shaped, and we dig that root down deep, and we listen to God's Spirit. And this soul is where your mind and your heart come together in your will. Your mind and your heart. Those two things come together in your soul. Your soul is kind of like a command center for how you live your life. And then your strength. Your strength puts it all into action. Your strength is your hands and your feet. You're moving something forward. We need strength. We need your gifts, your talents, your abilities. All are things that have been given to you, granted to you by God. We look at Peter Boone's life. That dude had strength. He had gifts, abilities, and talents. And yes, he may not have been able to walk, but man, when we celebrated his life, it was like, how many gifts and talents did that dude have? He was talented. And he used them with all of his strength for what mattered. And then neighbor is self. Who is your neighbor? In the Good Samaritan story, it tells us that our neighbor is those who have been beaten up by life. And also our neighbor is our sworn enemy. What a story. A sworn enemy helps a broken down, robbed guy on the side of the road. That's who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is essentially anybody you come in contact with. It's not the one that lives across the street. That you want to be a good neighbor so that they'll be a good neighbor back. A good neighbor is someone who gets nothing back. You do it just because it's what God has called us to. And so we love our neighbor as ourselves. All these areas of life are rooted in Christ because Christ matters most. We matter to him, and he matters to us. And as we root in Christ, he sends his Holy Spirit that moves up and through us. We know how a tree works. It pulls nutrients, and it pulls water, and it pulls the things it needs to grow from the ground up. And then it produces sap that runs in and out of them, and it produces fruit and the sunlight, which also represents God. God gives us everything we need to grow. Everything we need to grow. And so we pursue then what matters. So that Spirit comes out of us, and as we pursue what matters, we produce fruit, and that fruit reproduces in others. And so there's a full cycle here. So let me talk about the things that matter. These are just a few of the things that matter. There are probably other things that matter to you, and so it's not a complete list by any means. But, you know, you only have so many leaves on the tree. And plus, if we get to too many, you're like, well, what matters? I can't remember. The list was too long. So let me just talk about some of these things that we came up with. And really, again, these were some of the things that we feel like matter to you. It wasn't just our list. But again, we go to Jesus matters. Jesus is the Son of God, the head of the church, the Savior of man, and all we do flows through and out of him. And if you want to look at a scripture, it's 2 Corinthians 4, 5. It says we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible matters. The Bible is the living Word of God, and it's central to our church and its teachings. It's central. Everything we do is out of it. That's why we're in the story. We want you to understand the Bible better. And so we use tools like the story. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, "For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the attitudes of the heart. Our stories matter. Our stories matter. Listen to this description, because I think it's awesome. We share our story with vulnerability and courage to let the world know the redemptive power of the risen Christ. Let me say that again, and if there's a couple that want to say amen. We share our story with vulnerability and courage to let the world know the redemptive power of the risen Christ. You have a story. And if you sit here and tell me that you don't, I'm going to call you a liar. You have a story. Everyone in here has a story. And your story matters. And we need to hear it. And we want to hear it. It inspires us to keep moving in life. When we're at the Gaither concert and we want to go home to be with Jesus, we want to hear your story to say, there's more work to do here. You guys don't get the Gaither thing, do you? Okay. You got to go. I mean, you got to go. Next time we'll run a trip. Our stories matter. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Tell your story. Tell how God has made a difference. Tell how Christ has given you the strength to move through each day. And even if it seems boring to you, I'm sure it will speak to someone who desperately needs to hear the story of Christ, the risen Christ. Safe places matter. Safe places. God creates safe places. We call them sanctuaries. The church should be a sanctuary. Now, I'm not talking about a building that's named a sanctuary, because that's over there. It can be a gym. It can be a house. It can be a dining room table. It can be out in the woods. Because the presence of God is not about walls. It's not about a church building. It's about His dwelling place, and His dwelling place is in you. So it's wherever we gather, it becomes a safe place to not only be yourself, the one who God created, and all your vulnerabilities and brokenness, but it also needs to be a place where people come alongside of you and say, let's get going. Let's grow. Let's be together in this thing. This should be a safe place. The church should be a safe place where we can be messy, a messy work in progress, and do life together in Jesus' name. Psalm 61:2-4, you can write it down. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call to, as my heart grows faint, lead me to a rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, my strong tower against my foe. I dwell in your tent forever. I take refuge in the shelter of your wings. We become safety for people. Safe places matter. Next steps matter. We want to encourage you and resource you towards next steps in your walk with Christ, in your relationships, in your character, and in your ministry. Because we believe that God has a next step for you. And it's a baby step. But it is a next step, and we want you to take it, and we want to encourage you to take it. We're all taking it together. We're growing together, right? So we take next steps. And it may be a stretch for you. That's okay. It was a stretch for me. Senior pastor of a church. No way. A million years and $1 million. I would have said, no, not me. Are you serious? So let's stretch together. Let's take next steps because they matter. They matter. The scripture for that is Matthew 28:18, which is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's our next steps. That's where we want to get to. Family matters. I want you to look to your neighbor, whether they're family or not, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, spouse, child, and say, look at them and say, you matter to me. Come on. If you're still looking at me right now, I'm going to come down there and get you. And I'll bring you up on stage, and then you'll have to say it to each other up here. You matter to me. You matter to me. Family matters, and it's not just the family of your blood relation. Guess what? We get to be a part of a larger family, a global family. All those who are believers in Christ. We talked about it last week with Kay in covenant. Jesus made covenant with us, and we are part of that covenant, so we are a part of that family. We get to eat at the table of the Savior, the King, because of what He has done. And we become the family of God together as brothers and sisters. That's another thing. Did you know you're my brother and sister? You're my sister. Sister. Bro, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something that connects us deeper than blood. Together, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are strengthened and supported by a family that gives the world a better picture of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body. And when they look at us, they should get a better picture of who Jesus is. The whole person matters. This is kind of friends from way, way back from the beginning, is that all of you matters. It doesn't matter what context you're in. Work, whether you're at play, doing your hobbies, whether you're at home, whether you're in your neighborhood, at church, wherever you are, that part of you matters, and it should be the same. Not that you act the same way, but that you're the same person. It's hard to be the same person at work when you're around all these other people that demand for you to be something different. That you're whole. And that goes back to the great commandment. It's all those parts of you, your strength and your heart and your soul and your mind, all those things come together. We minister to the heart, mind, soul, and strength because all of God's image is being restored in us by Christ, by His Spirit. All of us. And then finally, prayer matters. Prayer connects and transforms our hearts to God's heart as we make our gratitude, our fears, and our requests known to Him. Prayer is really just a tuning in to what God's already doing. It's a tuning in to His heart. And prayer helps us do that, and that matters to us. Romans 8, verse 26 through 27, in the same way the Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit that comes up through us? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes. So that means He's making requests known out of our hearts through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts, which is God, God comes and searches our heart, and He knows the mind of the Spirit. And because the Spirit intercedes for God's people, it becomes in accordance to God's will. So there's this connection of God's heart to our heart. And sometimes we're not even aware of it. But just being open to God's Spirit being in us. So we're rooted in the great commandment. And we're pursuing what matters through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Producing fruit that will last. Fruit that reproduces itself into others. And makes other trees grow. And we become shelter and shade, but also the seed of the gospel is planted through our lives. Through the fruit, we plant seeds, and these seeds grow into new trees. We need to plant more seeds, right? So if we want better fruit, we got to go to the root, and that produces better fruit, and then that produces more seeds. And so if we're living our lives like this, if we're living our lives like this, the Great Commission will happen. it will happen. It will be a spilling out of us as a community. Now, I want to say one last thing. When we say this tree and it's me and it's kind of all alone, it kind of supports this cultural idea that it's all about the rugged individual. Let me share you this story, because I think this is how it really is. One of the largest living organisms in the world is a group of aspen trees in Utah called Pando. Pando is a Latin word that means to spread. Pando Grove consists of 47,000 trees, and it covers a little more than 100 acres, and overall, researchers believe that it's 13 million pounds is what this one organism is. And that's really who we are. We're connected. We're connected through Christ, through our roots to one another, and we stand strong as a group that makes a difference in the world and shows the world who Christ is. And we become like an Acts 2 church. We talk about that a lot too. If you go to Acts 2:42, there's a description of a church, of a community that's unlike any other that we've ever seen. And it gives us a vision for what our community could be like. And yeah, we have a long way to go, but sometimes we nail it. It says, every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in each other's homes, and they ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily of those being saved. I am convinced that the Great Commission is more about how we live our transformed lives than it is about what we say. It's even more important than what I say from the pulpit. How we live our lives is an example. And if we can just model this, so we can just dig our roots deeper, allow God to work through us, producing fruit, pursuing what matters, things that we would die for, things that we put our lives on the line for. And so I ask you in the closing, what matters to you? What matters to you? What's your story? We've been in this story for 13 weeks, and this is about God's story and the different people in the story, but we also want to hear your story. And this is a great start. This is a great start. I want to encourage you to pick up one and make sure that you have one before you leave, because it's just different stories that we have of our people. Pretty amazing story, really, of how God has worked through us, how he's worked in us, and how he's made his name known through us. So what matters to you? Let's pray. Lord, these are just some of the things that matter to us, but you do matter. And as we celebrate your coming, the advent of our Savior, Lord, you have come to live with us. You are Emmanuel, and we sense that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us move forward, take next steps, and allow you to produce fruit that would spread the gospel throughout the world, to our neighbors, to anybody we have contact with. And Lord, you've given us contact throughout the world. So Lord, meet each one of us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen.